Mind over matter. Overcompensating. Overstatements. Crookedness relating. The soul's churn in return. Mental overstimulation. One word. Riveting. It tears my pilot. Streams that are promised to make seeking less.
Great man, Russ Haddad himself.
Thank you. Hey, good to see you. Sorry for the confusion.
Don't worry about that, man. It's a pleasure to have you on. And still, thank you. I appreciate you giving me some of your time.
I appreciate your time. I really appreciate the support.
Welcome to the Poetry Journal podcast. You're a writer and a businessman. I say businessman because I know you do so many things when it comes to business. And you know, you have a large acumen. Could you tell us some more? Could you tell us a little bit about your, I'm aware you have a book. Could you tell us a little bit about your poetry book?
Sure. My book, Growth, really kind of covers a span of three phases of my life, starting out as a teenager.
Yes. You know,
early college years, that sort of a thing. And then it kind of goes as I progress in life into professional life, getting married, having a family. That's kind of the second phase. And then kind of at the tail end of that, kind of I go through a divorce, custody, other things happening in life, transitions in professional life.
Yeah.
And then in the kind of the third phase, and I won't say the final phase because it's there's still phases going on in my life, but the third phase of the book is kind of how I kind of keep persevering, keep going. And it's almost like a springboard into what could be, what's the next phase, what's coming up later, and how can I move forward from there.
That's interesting, man. And I'm sure from just what you said as well, I'm sure it's one of those eventful reads where you don't know what's going to come. You know what I mean? It's 'cause it's derived from your experience. And as we know, life, so many hills and mountains, man. So definitely sounds like a book that somebody will find, or people will find value in. Sure.
Yeah, it's a lot of it is about the experiences, relationships, people, you know, kind of come into my life, and just kind of, you know, all started with, you know, the death of my father when I was 12 years old. And that's kind of, not realizing it, I started writing poetry in high school.
Yeah.
And it became an outlet. And that kind of continued through. And, you know, I kind of rediscovered that, kind of took some time off here and there. And because life becomes life, you kind of lose track of things. And then during COVID, I kind of looked back and said, geez, I had this all written down.
Yes.
Maybe I can compile something and make it into something that maybe other people would be interested in. Because I certainly am not the only one to go through all the experiences that I've gone through. But it's just one of those things where maybe other people could relate to it.
Yes.
See that I've kind of come through it. And maybe they just help them be supportive in a sort of way that what they're going through in life, that they can get through it as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Definitely. I think you're right. And, you know, just putting it out there, because I think you just need to expose it to people, because and I think everything just falls into place after that. You know, you find people that resonates with what you're saying and what you're sharing, because as we know, there is value in that. Let me just share something with you, and then we kind of go more into art.
It's 15 hours.
That's my laptop. Emma. Sometimes seeing is believing. It varies like the tides as seeing tweaks and gets lean. Now for the life of me, all I want is what is in between. The sweet screen is telling life of when the dream is keen. Drawing for my passion like this has been the sweetest teen. Telling of the times I had not sheared so I can paint with cream. Telling of the riches that only my timeless had ever been privy. Life was never pretty until I could see me. I could tell these tales like a sweet tea. Thus I had already taken time to swallow my insides like bitter tea. Now all that you see is the vintage me. Just something to share today.
That is beautiful.
Thanks, man. I hope, as you say, you know, it resonates with what we're speaking about as well.
We can understand. It certainly does. I mean, just talk about discovering oneself. I mean, that to me, that's what that says to me. Once you realize kind of who you are, you can help others and you express your passions and everything that goes along with it. And geez, I mean, my writing's not even half as good as that. I gotta tell you, I mean, that was sensational. That was really nice.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. Question, my first thing I wanted to ask you, because I did read you, I did read your bio, and there's a few things that stood out to me. So I wanted to ask, what's your take on closure and the importance of such when you're talking about certain things that you've been
through? I think closure is important, yet I'm not sure if we ever realize full closure. I mean, I think there's things that happen to you in life, whether it be death, beginnings, endings, whatever it may be. There's always transition in life. There's always change in life. But I think in general, there's one of those things where I think in order to move forward and move on with your life, whether it's self-imposed or there's something that allows you to close, you're always going to remember those instances. You're always going to remember those experiences where, you know, for better or worse, and I guess we're all human, that you're always going to have either a little bit of sense of bitterness or a little bit of the happiness of it. And because I think closure, it can be positive and negative. I mean, there's closure to positive experiences and to negative experiences.
Yeah.
And I think it, those are what the memories are, right? But it also makes you, and you can go a couple of ways with that. You can be stronger, you become, you know, and maybe get stuck a little bit. But what I've tried to do, and I think writing the poetry and just, you know, putting stuff on paper just has allowed me to kind of put things down and put it aside, not so much aside, but get to a point where, okay, I can reconcile with this now.
Yes.
And so a form of closure, but, you know, I still have those thoughts and those memories, and it takes me back into those situations. But I've learned to just kind of deal with them maybe better.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just off the top right now, I would say, just, you know, just throwing spanners in the works. To me, in this moment, it's almost, and going off what you said, it's almost like a balancing agent, isn't it? Just in a sense where, like, you know, if you think about something you put on the stove, you just cooked, you got a hot pot. You know, the balancing agent is patience, it's time, or it's cold water. Whatever it is to kind of allow you to kind of touch that pot again without getting burned. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, no, that's absolutely, I really do love the way you put words together. That is, put that on paper. That really kind of says it all. Because, you know, to follow along with your analogy, is that, you know, you put a certain dish together and you cook it up in a recipe, one thing one day, but you're always going to kind of tweak it a little bit as you go along. Every time you do it again, you're going to maybe throw in a different version, make it a little bit spicier or add a different ingredient here and there. But that's kind of it. I mean, you never know what the next thing will bring. And while, yes, you finish that one recipe, but again, you're going to continue to maybe kind of improve upon it or whatever it may be, and take that with you. Yeah. But it always kind of evolves.
It was kind of evolved. And it's not to say that, oh man, all my problems are solved now, but it just makes it easier. It makes it more palatable in terms of like handling or just open, you know,
And as humans and as recipes and everything, we're all one big recipe, right? We're never a finished product. You know, we're always getting ingredients added to ourselves. And I think that's what makes us as humans so interesting, right? I mean, a lot of things I just kind of absorb. I like to observe people and just kind of see how they interact and how they, you know, step aside for myself, who's kind of, but I also try to put myself in other people's shoes.
Yes.
That, you know, they're going through things in life too that we just never know about. So, you know, I try not to be as best, and I don't always accomplish this, but again, you know, I try not to be judgmental, but I just really try to understand that we're all a work in progress at all given times of our lives. And, you know, it's, but we're all in the end, all kind of want the same thing. We all want respect. We want dignity. We want to be able to improve our lives, improve the lives of our children and families, and just have that sense of accomplishment. And that's kind of where I try to come from with not just only my writing, but I think in my professional life, you know, business life, is that, you know, I still do it. You know, I try not to make assumptions though about people, where they're coming from, but I really want to find out where they're at.
Yeah.
How they get to that point and kind of hope where they want to go. That truly is what interests me.
Absolutely. I could hear it in your voice as well. Like, you know, a passion is giving back. And I could only surmise, because of what you've been through and how, you know, the solutions that you've come up with to solve your issues or keep solving your issues, because, you know, they never stop. You want to give back. You want to share this with people, whether it's just experience and just people can just, even if it's just merely a substance or a little speck of it, to extrapolate and do something with that.
Absolutely. Having those little clues along the way helps me figure out ways how I can support or help someone else. And, you know, people don't always want help, which is fine, too. I don't want to push myself on anybody. You know, I just kind of, but, you know, I hope that what I do in life is going to, you know, I've made mistakes. I mean, everybody makes mistakes, but hopefully I've learned from those mistakes, and hopefully I can help others, you know, see that I've made those mistakes and I've been able to continue forward and progress and do certain things in life. And I've always dedicated my life to kind of this public service sort of a thing, with being in local government here, and state and federal government. And then currently what I'm doing now, my current job is all kind of related to that. I try to help local businesses grow and be prosperous and everything like that. So any knowledge that I absorb, I like to impart that to others. And you know, whether they take it or not, that's up to them, but I hope what I'm providing is helping.
Absolutely, absolutely. Could you, in a sort, differentiate between before and after teenage years in terms of like your growth through poetry, like being who you are now?
Sure. You know, my poetry, like I said earlier, that I kind of tripped over it. High school, I started writing it. I was an incredibly shy, bashful kid, you know, growing up. And so I joined the school newspaper, my high school newspaper, and they, you know, they wanted me to go on assignments and interview people and, you know, sports and whatever's going on that, you know, that they wanted me to report on.
Yeah.
But I had a hard time approaching people and talking to people because of my shyness. Yeah. And it kind of popped up that, you know, the Valentine's Day edition was coming out and they wanted somebody to write a poem. So I just kind of did it. Not really know what I was doing. So I wrote this, you know, I guess, you know, typical, you know, I guess teenage sort of version of idealistic love and all that kind of stuff. And it wasn't very long. It was only a couple of stanzas and things like that. And, But people recognized it. People saw it. And then that kind of struck me is that, okay, people enjoy what I write. But more importantly, I realized I enjoyed writing it. But I also enjoyed that, you know, from that point on, my poetry was featured, you know, in every edition of the school newspaper. But I just thought it was a good way to start with that closure part.
Yes.
That you mentioned earlier, what was, especially with the death of my father when I was 12, I never really expressed anything. I never fully mourned his death. And that the poetry allowed me to start doing that, and really kind of come to terms with that. And that's kind of, and then through that time going into college and everything like that, it just became another way of, you know, just dealing with things. After high school, after the school newspaper, I really kind of was just writing for me. I never really thought about putting it out there for the masses, so to speak, until a few years ago. Not even realize I had written so much, you know, going through, you know, starting jobs and living in different parts of the country, and you know, getting married, getting divorced, you know, all that kind of stuff. But really, the formative part of what I did as a teenager in high school really kind of was the foundation for how I kind of really took hold of writing poetry. And able to use it as a device to, and a mechanism to just kind of, you know, work through life.
Definitely. I think that's the beautiful thing about art, specifically poetry. It's, but in a larger sense, on a larger scale, art especially, it teaches you about yourself to begin with. And then, you know, if you do it long enough to go beyond the, you know, scratch beyond the surface, you really starts to, you know, you graduate and you keep graduating and, you know, you become an advanced student because, you know, to an extent, you don't stop learning, do you? So you're constantly in this race, not even a race, because it's really you against yourself. Mm-hmm. And you're constantly just growing. And sometimes, you know, if you get so caught up in the work, sometimes you forget, you know, it's like the climber that, you know, going to Mount Everest, and, you know, he's sticking by the rules. Don't ever look down until one day you do and you realize, oh man, you know, I've come so far.
Oh, that's a great way of putting it. And I think that's when I read the beauty of COVID, and there was a lot of bad with COVID, but the beauty of it was that a lot of people were able to stop and kind of reflect on their lives up to that point. And that's what that I was able to stop and look back at kind of what I had been doing over the years. And that's, you know, made the determination of, you know, maybe I want to share this. Maybe I want to put this out there, you know, put it all together and, you know, just see. Well, one thing, the main reason why I put it out there was just for me, just to show myself that I could do that.
Yes.
And then just getting the reaction from people, you know, has been great. It has been, and you know, I'm not saying any of these poems are great epic masterpieces or anything like that, but it's me. It's me being honest, me being, you know, kind of raw with, you know, and I'm not good at showing emotions a lot of times, but I'm better now than I was when I was 17 years old. But you know, it's just, I think the whole thing has been really, it's just been to show myself that I have grown is really kind of the I guess that's the bottom line, is that I didn't realize I had gone through all that, and yet I'm still striving for more, still trying to improve myself. But yeah, I've done some good things in life, and I've worked on myself a lot. So to express that openly, I think was important to me.
Yes, definitely. You said something that resonates with me. You said, you enjoy giving, you enjoy just giving people, you know, what you've created. And it's almost like the way I see it now. Funny enough, I was actually listening to something today, and it was from, it's from Mike Tyson. And this is what came to mind when I heard what you were saying. And he pretty much was basically making the point that, you know, now he enjoys doing for self by doing for other people, you know. And I could only put that down to just growing, you know, just growth. And I think that's the same thing I'm seeing, and I'm hearing the words, and that's why I'm hearing with you. And that's the same thing, just knowing Mike Tyson's history and comparison to yours, it's just the growth, you know.
But Mike Tyson is a great example there of that growth. I mean, really, he epitomizes growth.
Yeah, definitely.
And he's more of a poet than maybe he even realizes. It just, I mean, he really says some really deep, meaningful things when you hear some podcasts he's been on and things like that. He's got a certain. I know he always has his rough and tumble exterior and things that he's been through, but he really has a way of putting things together and saying things and showing things through his words that he's like one of those underrated people. You know what I mean? People don't give him credit for a lot of things.
They don't. Well, when I think about him, I think he comes from a more philosophical type of place. But there is a lot of, but because there is so much art behind it, you know, sometimes he veers into poetry just by stuff that he says. You get what I mean? And just the terminology he uses, because he's so old school and you know, he spent so much time studying the greats from thousands of years ago to begin with. And so now he's in a place where he has so much knowledge. And he's at this point, he's beyond an old soul, isn't he? Because he's already aged.
Exactly, I totally agree with that. I mean, he is. People just think he's, and I don't want to say anything out of turn here, but people really think he's an idiot. You know, people just think he's taking too many hits to the head, so to speak, and that he doesn't know what he's talking about, and you know, he's just a simpleton. But you know, he's a very deep person from everything I've seen and heard, you know, in the last few years especially. That I mean there's always been people who don't like him, but I admire him for the way he has really come through life.
I mean I think there's a lot of similarities with it, with like, say, it's funny you say that, you know, because I might veer off a little bit here, but you know, B.I.G. said this, you know, like one of the mics, Tyson, Michael Tyson, you know what I mean? And he was just making comparison across the mics as we know it. And now when I think about it, I think there is. If you think about it, there is a commonality across the board when you think about Mike Tyson, Michael Jackson. There's another Mike somewhere there. I can't think of his name right now. But just those two alone, if you think about Mike Tyson and Michael Jordan, I think there was a certain chaos that in the onset of their greatness, in a sense, and you know, it just to overcome what they've been through and just the way they rose to the challenge to be as successful as they are, it just kind of speaks to the character that they are. And you know, it's almost art in itself. So a lot of times when you hear Mike Tyson speak, or even Jordan in that matter, when he says it's like, you know, to be this great, I had to take a lot of failures. And you veer back over to Mike Tyson now, the first thing he would always say is, oh man, discipline was the first thing. Discipline was what got me here. You know?
And people don't think of him as being disciplined at all, do they?
They don't.
But he wouldn't have any level of success without discipline.
He wouldn't. Like even in...
And I think a lot of people think that people like Mike Tyson, Michael Jordan, Michael Jackson, they were prodigies, right? People knew they were special.
Yeah.
But it happened so quickly and they were just so highly revered that they just, people think that's just easy. They just did it. but they worked hard to get where they are.
That's right. And if you think about it, I think they were always going to be great, but now to this extent where they are now, they become transcendent.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because they almost transcend generations, don't they?
I totally agree.
You know, at this point, you think about the new babies. They're starting to see Michael Jordan the way we saw Michael Jordan. I think pretty much everybody still see Mike Tyson as that person. I think when they look at him now, they still see who he used to be, as opposed to who he is now.
Because they're not paying attention. They're really not paying attention.
Yeah. But when you think about it, you can't really blame them because he was so great for such a long time, at such a young age. You know, one of the youngest heavyweight champions.
Yeah.
You know, that's an amazing feat. You know,
and there really hasn't been a champion like him since.
Yes.
I mean, when you think about boxing, just hasn't been much of a sport.
Yeah.
In the last 20 years, 30 years, maybe. Since Tyson, and there hasn't been a great champion like him since.
At all. And it also speaks to being young, doesn't it? just that the potential to be to dare to be something.
Yes, right.
What you are. And because I say that is because another person that comes to mind, Alexander the Great. When he was accomplished as he was, you know, the conqueror, he became the conqueror. He was only a teenager himself, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. But I guess that's the beauty of being young and dumb, and I mean dumb in a good way.
Yes.
I don't mean that in a negative way at all. Is just that you're willing to take chances and risks and have the audacity to think that you can do it.
Yes.
You can master something that many people just would doubt that they would be able to do. But they have that inner ability to say, yeah, that confidence that say, yeah, I got this. I can do this. And I can be great. I think that's the ingredient, maybe that
yes.
That they're just willing to do something, and not to a certain degree not care what other people think. Yeah. They're just going to go for it.
Yeah, I'll say to an extent that would be maybe one of the meat or the drink of it. But when another thing he said to me, I'm still gonna like, you know. But what he said to the crowd was self-belief. That was the biggest thing. That's why I think he did, because, you know, self-belief, that was the first thing that was instilled in him by a customer. That self-belief. Yeah. And I think to an extent, you can't dare to be or dare to do without self-belief, you know? You can't have one.
And it's so hard. It seems like that's the one thing that a lot of people, and I think maybe this is a societal thing, is that, you know, society always creates doubts, you know, about who you are. It allows people to doubt who they are and what they can do. And
absolutely.
Self-belief is such a hard thing to achieve.
It's such a hard thing to maintain and achieve. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's Mike Tyson's, the Michael Jordan's, the Michael Jackson's, they've all shown that's going back to the recipe from earlier in the conversation, that's a key ingredient.
Yes, definitely. And I don't know what it is, but it always seems to be some kind of, I guess maybe that's just by default, isn't it? And what I mean by that is you can't, greatness has a price, and you have to go through something, and that might not be necessarily what, you know, tips you over the edge, but what it does, it gives you a prediction, or almost like a template
yeah.
of of how to overcome whatever situation that is going to be like necessary to significantly change the path, to maybe opening that door, swinging that pendulum to greatness in a sense.
Yeah. And is that where discipline comes in? Where you know you want to achieve something, you know you can do it, you believe you can do it.
Yes.
But you know you gotta allow a little bit of sacrifice, but also you know you're gonna stay on a certain path to do it. And you're willing to subject yourself to that type of discipline to allow you to achieve what you want to do.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, that to me, when you talk and I would so eloquently put that I think that is where the discipline comes in.
That's where it's comes in. Because maybe whatever whatever the stimulus is, it's so strong that it overcomes any setback or any urge you might have to deviate from your initial plan to actually be as successful potentially that you could be. But if you take this left now and you know you cut the discipline, you will most likely not accomplish what you're looking to accomplish.
It'll throw everything off. You're right.
Throw everything off. Another anecdotal situation that adds to this, I would imagine, I'm sure you're aware of this, Shannon Sharp.
Yes.
When he speaks about his grandmother, and you know he's thinking about the rain's about to pour and it's gonna go through the rooftop.
Yeah.
And he's thinking, man, like, I have to get Granny out of this situation. And these are the fuel. This is the fuel that took him through the end of, well, college and high school, even during the NFL, to make it, to eat right. Mm-hmm. It was so strong now. It's such a strong stimulus to this point where he still does the same things every day.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And you hear stories, those types of stories a lot, especially with, you know, high profile athletes.
Yeah.
Again, it's they're not really doing it for themselves. They're doing it for the betterment of the people around them that they love. And, you know, but also kind of with how they live their lives, they're hopefully potentially inspiring others.
Yes.
To do the same thing. So it you know, but who knows? I don't know if he realizes this enough, but people like Shannon Sharpe and you know, Mike Tyson, I wonder if they know that they're inspiring others, you know?
I think they're aware, but to an extent they also understand it's so much bigger than they are, than them at this point.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just a humbling situation to know that, you know what, your words, your actions, because as you know, especially for men, legacy is a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
So just to know that you've made an impact on the world as you know it, whether it's one or 1,000 people, man, that's amazing. Like, you know, that's what it takes, you know, to be like,
yeah, oh, and that's,
I did something.
That's so true. Yeah. And that's kind of, you know, either through my writing or through what I do, my everyday work.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I want. If I help one person, that's enough.
Yeah.
That's enough.
It's almost like you've literally affected a culture in a sense, you know?
Yeah. I totally get that. That makes perfect sense to me. but I think that the lens of us being men, I mean, I think that's, you're right. It's important for men to leave a legacy. What do they do with their lives? I think that's, we're all striving for that. And
striving for that.
We all, you know, but I think one way or another, we all do leave a legacy.
Yes.
Whether we realize it or not, and whether we think we've had the impact we wanted to have.
Yes.
No matter what, I think, whether you're trying to or not, you're leaving a legacy.
Yes, definitely. And that goes back to, sorry, I think my stopwatch is going off. But that goes back to what I was saying, you know, it all started with a choice, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it did. Life is choices. It's just a long series of choices.
It's a choice. And let me elaborate on that just a quick second. The choice to be like, to understand oneself, to know, oh man, this is for me, or this is what I love to do, as you're doing with poetry. That's a choice in itself. Obviously informative before you do it, but once you make that choice and you commit to it, that's dedication. And so now you're in a place where, man, I've made a commitment. That comes, that I think it's almost like just doing that alone, these actions, they pave a road, as we know, called discipline, doesn't it? And so now you're on a path that you create for yourself, or you've decided this is for me. And now things just fall in place, or the universe formulate.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well put, because that's really kind of how I felt. To the point where, you know, I published Growth, and now, you know, I published a second book, you know, a few weeks ago called Pieces of Mind. But doing it once, it has become more of a vocation, meaning that I want to do it more. I want to. It has fed something that probably was always there.
Yes.
But I am more dedicated to it. You know, I have a process now that I, you know, when I have a thought, when I want to, I put it down on paper more, or I use my phone. I use technology. You know, I the notes in my iPhone. When something comes across, I used to never put it down. You know, I used to try to rely on my memory. Yeah. No, I don't do that. I put it down. As soon as something pops in my head, I put it either on paper or in my phone. And then I go back and I build from there.
Yeah.
But it is become disciplined with because this for me, it's become more purposeful to be able to do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We don't have much time, but I want to give you just a little time. Do you have anything to promote you want to share with my audience?
Yeah, just my two books. If the first book, Growth, which is the one that takes me through my three phases of life up to this point, both and Pieces of Mind was more observational about society today. Just kind of politics and everything like that. That's kind of what's going on in our culture these days, and some tributes to people who are special to me in life, and the impact they've had on my life. Both of these books, Growth and Peace of Mind, can be found on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
That's great, man. Russ, thanks so much for coming through. It's been a pleasure talking to you, man. Definitely
conversation. I really enjoyed it. Cool. You take care of yourself.
Please, again, man. I appreciate that so much for coming through.
Well, yeah. Anytime, please. Yes. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Take care.
Thanks so much.
Hey, bye-bye. Okay.
Mind over matter. Overcompensating. Overstatements. Crookedness related. The soul's churn in return. Mental overstimulation. One word, riveting. It tears my pilot. Streams that are promised to make seeking less.